Christ's glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of our Supreme Lord Sai, the voice, the listener, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Sai Ram, dear listeners, my name is Karuna and I'm coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 3rd of March and the time in the ashram right now is exactly 41 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Times. And that also is about 11 minutes past the morning aarti. It is also the time of the day when longing hearts are inching slowly towards the holiest of shrines on the face of this planet. That is the Mahasannidhi of Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai Baba. On behalf of all our listeners, I bow to the divine energy emanating from their supremely sacred spot. What a blessing it is to even focus our thoughts on this holy land where the mind is calm, the spirit at ease, and what to speak of the heart. The heart is always at home here. On that happy note, let me update you on the current weather conditions here in Prashanti Nilayam. Clear skies, crisp breeze, comfortable evenings, nights and mornings make for an unseasonably comfortable early March. Daytime temperatures, however, tend to hover in the mid-30s, which is very normal for this time of the year. And the other factor that is warming up the ashram energy is the excitement of the upcoming Mahashivaratri festival on March the 7th, that is Monday. There is always much to celebrate here in Prashanti Nilayam, and some of which always invariably spills into Thursday Live. And today on Morning Glory, we'll be celebrating the divine legacy of Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai Baba by way of a two-part exclusive interview with a former student of Bhagwan who has a treasure trove of fond memories to share with us. Radio Sai is very pleased to bring you part one of a Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Dr. Kiran Patel of the United Kingdom. This two-part interview is conducted by my colleague, Brother Bishuprushti of Radio Sai. Before I play this interview, I have to announce the question for this morning, the quiz question for our listeners, and I also have some names to read out that got left out last week. Shankari Subhash from Dubai and Rajeshwari Venkat from Mumbai also had the right answer to my question last week, namely what is common between ice cream and the Lord's heart. Namely, they both melt very easily and are sweet and soft and pure. And the week prior to that, Kunduri Nagamani had named Sai Geeta the pet elephant of Baba correctly. Congratulations to Sister Kunduri Nagamani and to Sister Shankari Subhash and to Sister Raji Venkat. Thank you very much for participating in the Morning Glory quiz. And now, it is time for me to pose this week's question to the listeners of Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Dear brothers and sisters, can you name the very first college that Bhagwan Baba set up when he started to reform the system of university education in India? So please, give me the name of the first college started by Universal Teacher to Humanity Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai Baba. And to help you, I'm such an easy host, I always like to give you a clue here and there. So today I have a clue for you. This college, this sacred college, was started in the year 1968. And I know that many of our listeners were not even born then. So it's one of those earliest, it is the earliest, the very first college that Bhagwan started. Now, dear brothers and sisters, it is time to email me your answer. You can search Google research to whatever, go to our website and find the right answer. And then send it to me directly, immediately at karuna@radiosai.org. I repeat my email ID, and I also want you to know that I am eagerly waiting to hear from you. You can reach me at Karuna, Kite, Apple, R for Robert, U for Uganda, N for Nancy, A for Apple, KARUNA, at RadioSai, it's one word, RADIOSAI.org or ORG, karuna@radiosai.org. Over the next half hour, I will collate your responses and announce the names of all participants with the right answers later on, right here on Morning Glory. So please continue to stay with us on the show till 11 a.m. this morning. With that, here is a mega dose of nostalgia and fond memories of growing in the sunshine of Sai's love. Over now to part one of Fleeting Moments with Dr. Kiran Patel of the United Kingdom. Have a listen, please.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Today is December 30th, 2015. The Christmas celebrations is over, but the vibes of Christmas celebrations is so much in the air and in everyone's heart in Prashanthinilam. It was a wonderful, glorious 3-day celebrations, and the way the Sai Kulwanth Hall was decorated is something like the Sai Kulwanth Hall had never seen before. It was a cathedral of joy. That is perhaps one way of expressing how majestic and how glorious the Sai Kulwanth Hall was, and the 3 days of programs, the children's choir, the international choir, the drama, the procession, so many things done for the first time and done so wonderfully with so much love. And it showed, that love showed. The devotees from United Kingdom had the opportunity to spearhead the decoration, and many items, all the cultural programs also were done by them. And yesterday I had the opportunity to speak to 2 devotees from the UK team who were just unable to express how ecstatic they were just to be part of this. They were wondering how it will work out, whether they can do the celebration. One of them, who has come for the first time, he was only regretting why I did not come before. And he was so happy that his 5-day trip is now somehow got extended to 7-day trip. How precious each moment is to be in the Sai Kulwanth Hall, to be in the presence of Bhagwan's Sannidhi. And this wonderful team that did this celebration in Prashanthinilam in this 90th year of Bhagwan's advent, it was the grand finale of 90th birthday celebrations. And the person who spearheaded this entire beautiful celebration, Christmas celebrations, the Christmas offering from United Kingdom, is Mr. Kiran Patel, the chairperson of the UK Sai organization. And what is most heartening is Brother Kiran Patel is also an alumnus of Bhagwan's University. It is such a lovely feeling to see Bhagwan's students directing the energies of the Sai organization. And Brother Kiran Patel has been so blessed to lead such a vibrant group of devotees. He is ably assisted by another Sai brother, Brother Veerbhadra Rao, again a Sai student, and both of them have now been giving direction to all the activities in the United Kingdom. In fact, when Brother took over the position of the chairperson of the UK Sai organization, it was a very, very difficult phase. It was a very challenging phase because it was the time when Bhagwan had just left his mortal coil. So it was one of those very, very tumultuous time in the organization. A lot of forces had to be balanced, and a lot of explaining had to be done, a lot of encouragement had to be done, a lot of innovative ways of keeping the organization together had to be thought out. And Bhagwan so amazingly had Brother Kiran Patel step in at this crucial time in 2011, and since then the organization is doing wonderfully. And it just showed in the Christmas celebrations, such a wonderful team effort and such grand celebration in Prashanthinilam. In fact, Bhagwan has been shaping Brother Kiran Patel perhaps for this role for God knows how many years, how many janmas maybe, because He came to Bhagavan's lotus feet as a student way back in 1971-72 as a student doing his 11th and 12th class, PUC as it was called then in Vrindavan, and then he did his graduation, bachelor's in sciences in Vrindavan College. Bhagavan asked him to do his post-graduation in sciences, MSc sciences, majoring in chemistry in Sri Venkateshwara University in Anandpur. So they should travel to Anandpur but stay in Prashantanilam, be in the proximity of Bhagavan. And after he completed his post-graduation, Bhagavan gave him the chance to be a faculty member. So he experienced the joy of teaching the students and being a teacher and a faculty member in his university for 1 year in the Vrindavan campus. Then Bhagavan promoted him to be the head of the Department of Chemistry in the Prashantanilam campus. That happened in 79 when the college just started. And in 1981, Bhagavan told him that it is perhaps good for him to now move out of Prashantanilam and look after his parents in United Kingdom. And that is when, though it was a difficult decision, but with Bhagavan's permission and guidance, Brother Kiran Patel moved to United Kingdom, where he did his PhD and then joined the pharmaceutical sector. He worked in various positions in the pharmaceutical verticals and rose to very eminent positions there. And he's someone who's so humble that he won't even tell me, if I ask him, tell me what positions you held in your professional career. He says, that's not important. I didn't even know that you were a PhD. He said, that's also not important. What is really important is how Bhagavan has retired him after he superannuated and today is working through him in leading the Sai organization in United Kingdom. With a lot of gratitude to Bhagavan for having made this possible, I welcome you, brother, to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
No, thank you very much, Brother Bishu. Very, very humbled by your introduction. And it is for me a great fortune to be in this great institution of Bhagwan, Radio Sai, an instrument spreading Swami's divine love globally. So I'm really very honored to be here. Thank you.
I just cannot take the Christmas celebrations off my mind. It is so much still alive, you know, the whole decoration in the Kulwant Hall and everything that happened. So before I really move on to your story and your journey to Bhagavan, can we talk about how does it feel now? It is so much of effort, so many days, months of preparations to make this Christmas celebration so grand. And how does it feel now?
I think, yes, tremendous amount of planning went to this. Our main objective was this was an important year for all devotees when we celebrated Swami's 90th year of his divine advent. And Christmas is a time to rejoice. Yes. And also the conclusion of a great year. So we wanted to make sure that just like Swami's birthday celebrations, Christmas also was reflected accordingly.
Wow.
To the 3-day celebrations, but a lot of effort went into that. That would not have been possible, I must say. Human endeavor, it's beyond that. It's only Swami's divine grace that guided us. And after the three days was over, it just, still we are on a high. And I still had wished that we had continued with the same pace. That's right. But anyway, it's so. I mean, it's obviously now the new year is coming.
Yes. Yeah.
And everyone is looking forward.
Yes.
To the coming of 2016.
Yes.
And seeking Swami's divine blessings.
Wow. So, do you think this whole effort of so many devotees from UK coming together for this celebration, has it done something to each one of them? Has it done something to the organization as a whole? How do you feel as a chairperson of the organization? This entire effort, what cascading effect it is going to have that you think on the organization and its members?
I think the impact is huge. When I speak to our own devotees here, a lot of them are very new, first time, as you had said before. This is a new experience for them. They are really energized. And a lot of them have been saying that we'll go back to our centers. We've got about 50 centers in the United Kingdom and 44 little groups. And they said, we'll go and spread this message.
Wow.
This was very special. And in fact, we were getting a lot of messages from United Kingdom itself when they saw all the celebrations and the decorations in Prashanthi Nilayam. Mm. It felt like a cathedral.
Yes.
And nowhere else in the world can a celebration like this take place, including the Vatican.
Oh.
I would think.
Oh.
And lot of devotees in the UK.
People of so many kinds and cultures congregating.
Absolutely. Yes. So many people came around together. And people from UK were regretting that they were not here, part of the of great celebrations. Mm. So I can see that what has happened here is devotees will go to centers, energize them. This is what we need to do. This is part of the divine mission to participate in it. And I'm praying sincerely to Bhagwan to guide and bless us towards that.
And I'm sure you must have felt his presence so strongly in this entire process of organizing this.
No, absolutely. It is a very emotional feeling. Yes, we all miss Swami's physical presence, but Swami's mission will continue, and it's brought a lot of joy. A lot of tears have been shed towards this, and it has been a remarkable experience for all of us.
Wonderful, sir. So you said, yes, we do miss his physical presence, and you are someone who did experience the joy of being in his physical presence, especially at a time when the university had not come into being. The Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning came only in 81, and that's when you had a huge group of students joining, but when you became a student, I think it was a very small group, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I cherish every moment of that. Like a lot of other devotees, and a lot of students I speak to, we all regret that had wished I'd taken greater advantage of what Swami had given. We were in this, state that, no, this will be endless, not to worry about.
Yeah, that's how he makes you feel at that moment. He gives you so much that you feel this is going to continue. And we never have any idea of how things will unfold.
Correct.
And also, I think it is part of his maya. Many times I think that, you know, when he gives that much, somehow, I think it's the experience of more than 99% of the devotees that, you know, when you get it, you don't really realize how potent it is.
No.
But he gives you those moments so that you can go over those moments, and those moments will continue to inspire you, continue to energize you.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. That's very true.
So can I ask you, what are those moments, you know, when you look back in your journey to Bhagwan, which whenever you think about them, you know, that just fills you with joy, fills you with energy to know I want to do his work, I want to be part of his mission.
I mean, I don't know why, but Swami has given me a lot of blessings. I think in this life, when I joined Swami's institution, I was just about 17 years old. And I wouldn't say that I was an angel coming over. For me, at every point, Swami made sure that there's a lesson for me to learn, to transform myself for the better. Never ever did he put pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It was only his love, I would say the avatar of love.
Mm.
And that is what actually transformed my first visit when I came to join Swami's institution. The college obviously hadn't yet started. It was still holidays time. And I think it was December 31st, 1971, mm-hmm. that there was a summer course in Vrindavan. So I landed there.
So my did that happen? Like, how did you want to be part of the summer course?
No, it was not to be part of the summer course. It was just that I wanted to join Swami's college. My brother was already a student here. He was a first batch student.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to write letters. And I was really inspired by what he was writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much wanted to join Swami's college.
Oh, okay.
So I requested him that, please ask Swami if I can come and join his college. And Swami said, yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Ask him to come.
So Bhagwan had come into your family already.
Yes, what happened was, it was in 1964, we had a Diwali card with a portrait of Shirdi Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we didn't know at the time who Shirdi Sai Baba was.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying, who is this old person here, you know?
Were you in India? India?
We were in Kampala, in
Kampala.
Uganda.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, okay.
Hmm.
And somebody gave you this card?
Yes, it was posted to us from India mm-hmm. by a relative.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this, not knowing who this was, we just left it at on a window pan. And one of the neighbors after a few days came over and said, Shirdi Sai Baba. And we said, who? Shirdi Sai Baba. Then this person says that Shirdi Sai Baba is reborn as Sathya Sai Baba. And there is a small center here in Kampala that is running, has been running for a few years. And without any hesitation, without any questioning or challenging who the Sai Baba was, we just accepted him as is, and we started going to the center, and bhajans were going on, and that's how we became part of the center until 1968, as you know. Swami visited East Africa.
Yes.
The only country outside India.
Yes.
And that was the first time that we had the physical darshan of Swami.
Hmm.
And that was
So you were there?
Yes, I was there at the time.
Oh, so your parents and everyone was there?
Everyone was there.
Wow.
And so I was age of 14.
Hmm.
And I can remember I was given the role of a volunteer.
Oh.
And on one occasion, Swami was just coming out. Instead of controlling a crowd, we all youngsters got together in line,
mm-hmm.
you know, for Swami's darshan. And Swami walked, he looked at each one of us and came near me and patted me on my shoulders.
Oh, wow.
And that was a great moment for me.
Mm.
And I can remember that when Swami left, I don't know, it was like something was pulled away from my heart.
Oh.
Whole day I was crying.
Oh,
and my parents were saying, why are you crying? You know, Baba is in your heart. I said, just leave me alone. And that was it until I again saw Swami physically in 1971.
But something would have happened, isn't it? I mean, two things are to me still not clear. Someone just tells you, you didn't know who Shirdi Sai. But
yes.
Someone tells you that Shirdi Sai has come as Parthi Sai, and you just go to the center and you just accept him unconditionally.
Yes, I mean, this is something, even now when I look back, it baffles me. I can only think that that was divine will, that he wanted to pull us together. Absolutely no opposition. Complete acceptance.
That you are in Africa, so miles away from India, and someone is in India.
Absolutely.
You have no... So, is it that you are all the time into spiritual gurus and masters or anything like that?
Not really, no. In a typical home altar, you've got all the deities there.
Hmm.
And that is what used to happen.
Hmm.
There was a local temple, and as a young boy, I used to enjoy going in the evening because aarti was being done.
Hmm.
And I used to love playing the drums. But that was all.
Hmm.
I was not really spiritual, you know.
Hmm.
But I suppose that that was only his blessings
mm.
that was drawing us
mm.
towards him.
And as a 14-year-old, you're crying so much. I mean, you're uncontrollably crying because Bhagwan has gone. Something very deep has happened within you. I mean, I don't know, it might be difficult to articulate, but what is it? What is it that pulled you about Bhagwan?
I just don't know. I just don't know what it was. His beauty... and his compassion around that I saw, you know, his love, the way he was showering love amongst all the people, be it the lot of Asians, but a lot of Africans also came, and African groups were given interviews, and we used to then afterwards ask, so how did Baba communicate? They said he spoke in Swahili.
Oh, wow. I mean
that was something unbelievable for us, you know, very Swahili, right? In Swami. But that is just divine play, I would say.
It's really fantastic, isn't it, for someone who is so young, and Bhagwan has just probably, as you said, once he patted you, that's all the interaction, sort of physical interaction you had with Bhagwan, but he had captured your heart so magnificently.
I really felt when he left that, you know, and my relatives going away from the country, I never felt like that. So there was something very special about it. And, yes, until the 1971 again when I went back. No.
So that pull was there.
Yes, yes.
So you joined, so you applied because of brother's inspiration, you came to...
Yes.
Came for a darshan during summer course.
Correct. And Swami had just come out, and we both were standing near the interview room. You know, this was the old ashram. And Swami knew at a physical level my brother. So he calls me, exchange a few words. And then he comes to me and asks me, what is your name? And I say my name. And my brother then nudges me. I didn't know what to do near Swami. He nudges, take Pad Namaskar. So I was about 1.5 meters away. I dare not touch him physically. Because I didn't know whether you should touch him physically. So from 1.5 meters, I completely bowed down.
Oh.
Yes.
So you bowed down?
Yes.
And not touching
him? Not touching him.
Oh my God.
It was like as though he's almighty. You know. And I'm somebody very little, you know, and no direct connection. That was a feeling with which I was going.
But that much of respect you had, that much of reverence you had for him, no? Amazing.
Yes, I mean, I did start worshipping him as God, but my belief of him as God was, even in fact when I was meant to join his college, was that, yeah, he has got literally his business to do with all his devotees who are coming. And my business was to study in his college. And that was it. There are two separate entities. Not realizing that he wanted to come into my life. He wanted to interfere with my life and become part of his life. I never thought like that.
Yeah. He never thought that he wanted you to become part of his life.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
And after a while, I realized that there was a much bigger role that each one of he expected each one of us to play. So it was not just he coming, giving darshan and walking away, and we were something else.
So the joining the university was smooth.
It was in 1972 when the college had started. I was admitted to a 2-year PUC course. Now that also is very interesting. Swami asked me, so how many years is this course? And I said to Swami, 2 years. Swami said, 2 years? It can't be 2 years for you, only 1 year. Then I said, Swami, this is according to the rules and regulations. I can't do 1 year. Swami said, Chacha, I'll speak to the principal. At that time, it was Principal Narendra, the first principal of Vrindavan College. So he summons him. And then he tells him that why is this boy doing 2 years? And the principal says, Swami, this is PUC, it's the rules, 2 years.
That is 11th and 12th grade.
That's right. Then Swami asks him that tomorrow you go to Bangalore, go and meet up with the PUC board and tell them that this boy cannot be doing 2 years, he should only be doing 1 year.
Oh my God.
So Professor Narendra had no choice but to go all over to Bangalore.
He did that?
Yeah, he did that.
Wow.
And then he meets up with the board. Evening he returns back. And then Swami asks me, so what happened? He says, Swami, they have refused. It's 2 years. Swami just raises his hand and say, okay. And it was left at that. After a month of that, a letter comes to the principal saying the board has reviewed my situation and they have decided I should be promoted to the second year.
Oh.
So 2 years become 1 year. So that was Swami's love.
Amazing.
That was Swami's love.
And that is Swami's love, and I was just thinking that is also the faith of Professor Narendra, you know, in following Bhagwan's command. Anyone in his position will say, Swami, I cannot do this. How can you go to the board and say a course which is for 2 years, do it for 1 year?
Yes.
It sounds absolutely illogical, but he's someone who just went. Because Swami said he just went and did.
Correct. He was an amazing personality.
What?
Great devotee.
What faith and surrender.
Great devotee. I think we were very fortunate to have a principal like him and interact with him. Very quiet person, but a great devotee. And Swami also respected him a lot.
Hmm.
But any other devotee that Swami admires, he also sort of played, Swami played his game with him, but a real role model for all of us in those days.
Amazing. So you did only 1 year of PUC.
I did only 1 year of PUC. Mm. That's correct.
And you moved on to graduation.
And then I moved over to graduation.
We never know why Swami wanted you to do only 1 year.
I had absolutely no clue. But maybe that was part of his plan.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
You have to go out on 81.
Correct.
So many things have to fall in place.
Yes.
Perhaps you have to take over the organization in 2011.
Yes.
So how was it after becoming a student in Vrindavan College?
Well, our lives there, we had very few students in those days in Vrindavan.
At 20, and 30 or?
Well, when I joined, there were about 15 students.
15, 1-5.
1-5.
1-5.
Yes. Mm. And our hostel in those days was where we have got the north, the western canteen at the moment. That's all converted, but before that...
The foreigners canteen in the Vrindavan ashram.
In the Vrindavan, ashram. Yes, in the campus.
Mm.
There were Swami's garages.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be Swami's garages.
Oh, okay.
Where cars used to be parked.
Mm-hmm.
And a shed upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it had corrugated roof.
Mm-hmm.
With holes in that, so summertime you could see light coming.
Oh my God.
And during monsoon season, we used to wake up in puddle of water.
Oh my God.
We had absolutely no form of comfort.
Mm.
And cold water in those days, even Bangalore, used to be pretty cold.
I know, very cold.
So absolutely no comfort at all. Even we didn't have gas fires or anything like that.
Mm.
We had to cut our own wood, and then through that wood, cooking used to be done, a lot of smoke and all that.
Oh my God, everything in that shed.
Yeah, that's right. But the most important thing, Swami used to spend 90% of his time with us.
90%. Wow.
So he used to come from his residence to the Sairam shed that used to be there, go around with the devotees, give them darshan, and then straight he used to make his way to the hostel for about 2-3 hours. And then, we used to make snacks and all sorts of things for Swami. And then Swami.
So the guys used to cook?
Sorry? No, we used to have one or two cooks.
Mm-hmm.
That we had hired.
Hmm.
So they used to manage cooking.
Hmm.
But obviously we used to instruct and whatever.
Yes. Hmm. But do all else. Everything
yes,
else.
That's right.
Hmm.
We used to assist in cutting of vegetables and all sorts of things, you know. And Swami, you know, used to be very curious now what is being prepared in that kitchen, you know. And very small place. So Swami could just walk around, you know. And it was completely black. No, because of all the smoke from the wood burning and whatever.
Mm.
And Swami used to just try and walk, and we used to somehow try and block Swami. We didn't want to go into that area, you know, because it's all smoky and whatever. Yet Swami used to go and then look at now what is prepared, and he used to taste, you know, take a spoon, little bit more salt or chili or whatever.
So all that
used to happen. And the amazing experiences there of the students, Swami used to do, you know, obviously shower is low, a lot of materializations, rings and necklaces. I can remember once with one boy, Swami says, "What do you want?" And this boy says, "Swami, I want you." And Swami asks, "Okay, give your hand." And then Swami places his hand on top of this boy's hand, and then there is a smile, you know, this boy's whole face starts flashing, you know, and then when hand is removed by Swami, there is a hot bundi laddu, you know, and then Swami says, go and distribute this to everybody. And then, you know, Swami also used to materialize this amrut, you know. Yes, and then say go and distribute. So a lot of things used to happen. I can remember there was one student at the time. I would rather not name him. Swami asked him, "So where were you this afternoon?" You know, and oh, Swami, I was in college, you know, working. Swami looks at him. "Were you in a college? Are you sure?" "Swami, I was in a college." The Swami materializes a photograph where he's smoking.
Oh.
Right? He's caught red-handed.
Oh my God.
So it's like walking a razor's edge with Swami, isn't it? Because there is a physical aspect of Swami, right?
Yes.
Full of love.
Yes.
But there is a divine aspect, all-knowing, all-pervading.
Yes.
You cannot escape him. So you're always vigilant, always on your toes. And all such things used to happen. And the type of students that were there at the time, they came from poor families, medium, rich families, but each one of us felt true brotherhood.
Wow.
We would do anything for each other. You know, if anyone was in had some financial trouble or whatever, we used to write, chip in and help out. That was the type of relationship that we had. And it was only because of Sai's love. We felt one with Sai in everyone. And Swami also used to walk in a hostel, you know, where we used to sleep and all that. And he used to go around and say, "Where are you sleeping? And where are you sleeping? What have you got in the suitcase?" And he used to make us open our suitcases.
Oh my God.
Even to go to Bangalore city, we have to take Swami's permission, no? And when I look back now, I think back and say, that was amazing. And
unbelievable.
And we took Swami for granted.
Yes.
How could we, you know? And many a times we, amongst our Sai school, we talk about a lot of things, as you know. And you know, we talk about, you know, this must be, you know, if there's a candle, this darkness in the immediate vicinity, that is where we were. But the light is actually spread out a little bit at a distance. And Swami always used to remind, see all those devotees, they are pining. You fellows, you don't know the value of me being with you. No. So those were the type of days in a hostel that we used to spend.
What was the schedule like?
It was a normal, you know, morning you get up, you know, there's the omkar, the suprabhatam.
So in the same area you just do your...
Correct, yes.
Roll up your beds and...
It was just a dormitory, dormitory. And so that is where we used to do our omkar.
So roll up your beds in the same place becomes the prayer hall.
That's right, yes. And then in the evening, in Swami's ashram, we used to have bhajans with Swami. And he used to pick up boys. Now you sing, you know. So all that used to happen. And if there was some special guest, then he would ask this person to share few experiences. So that is what used to happen.
Amazing. I think when you think about it, perhaps, you know, Bhagavan made everyone there, all the students there, so comfortable because he really wanted them to, each one of you at that time, to develop that relationship, isn't it? If he was that all the time, that omnipresent, omniscient God, then, you know, you cannot really develop that kinship that he wanted you to develop, isn't it?
No, it's very true. Because first time when I arrived in Vrindavan, I talked about the summer course, So Swami told us, go and sit. So in my own mind, Swami is omnipresent. It was jam-packed, as one could imagine. And there was this big human, this wooden poles, you know. That was the only place where you could sit, where you couldn't see Swami, obviously, you know. And I said, ah, Swami is omnipresent. So I'll sit at one of these poles. And after the session, bhajan session was over, upstairs, Swami's ashram, because there was no accommodation for the hostel boys, they got a privileged place to sleep, and that was a balcony. A balcony that divides, the only thing that divides the balcony from Swami's bedroom is a large window. So students were meant to sleep there.
Oh.
So you could actually see Swami through all the activities that he's doing.
Oh my God.
So that was the privilege that students were given.
My God.
So I was sitting there. Once bhajans were over, then Swami sent a word, call him upstairs. So I came up and Swami said, you can sleep here, stay here. Then Swami said, I was searching for you and I couldn't see you anywhere. I said, Swami, no, I was there. And that was left at that. Thing that you just now pointed, it took me a few years really to think, why was Swami saying that? He's omnipresent. He knew everything. But it was, as you said, he wanted to establish this relationship, this kinship. Many a times we know that in his divine discourses he had said that if he was in Kailash, then there was no way he could have had the kinship with fellow beings by having a human form to sleep amongst them, to eat amongst them, to see amongst them. That way he could elevate them to height of spirituality. And that is what then afterwards I started understanding, that Swami really what he wanted is a direct relationship, direct kinship with him. So we positively benefited by his presence.
I think just like it happened in the Krishna avatar, you know, because he could come in that form and he played with the gopis and gopalas, and that's how every gopi and gopala were able to relate to him, you know. To me, when I listen to many of these Vrindavan experiences, you know, and very interestingly, Swami also named his ashram Vrindavan. It is something like that, because, you know, he was letting his hair down so much and becoming so much one with everyone that, you know, your whole being, physically, mentally, psychologically, you know, at all levels, you are only thinking about him.
Correct, yes.
You are in that consciousness.
No, absolutely. And Vrindavan was a very special place. As you said, I think Swami naming that, he was Sai Krishna. And his plays with students was just amazing, you know. My perception, and I used to ask our other Sai students during that times, it just took a few hundred kilometers over to Prashanthi Nilayam, and he appeared as though he was the emperor. Everything discipline, everything order. Once he steps into Vrindavan, he's the same Sai Krishna, very playful, very joyous, completely relaxed, completely different, you know. Just a few miles away and a big difference.
As they say, they used to say that, you know, Vrindavan is Bhagavan's home and Prashanthi Nilayam is his office.
Yes, yes.
Kodaikanal was his playground. And you literally lived in his home.
Yes, yes, correct. Yes. And I think for us, great opportunities, you know, of changing ourselves. I can remember when I first came there, at that time the ashram was managed by Ram Brahma Garu.
Yes,
as
Mr. Ram.
Everybody knows. So Swami sends a word through him, and he says that, Swami has said, I used to have sideburns.
Okay.
Right? And Swami said, tell him his sideburns are long. So instantly, immediately, I shortened them, you know. Next day again, Ram Brahma Garu comes to me He says, Swami has seen you and he has again commented, your sideburns are still long. Mm-hmm. Again they went short. It continued up to the third day, mm-hmm. to the extent then I was thinking to myself, at this rate he perhaps wants me to become totally bald, you know. Then that evening he was reading Sai Gita, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And he just had fed Sai Gita with some fruits and all that. He was just coming and he saw me. He calls me. And then he looks at me and says, ah, turn left, turn right. Abhi achha lagta hai, says. Now you are looking very good, you know. So for me, I think it was a great lesson that Swami expects, you know, the outward physical appearance also good. And that is what I see today in our, all our Sai students studying in Swami's university, the colleges. They're very smart, which is what Swami expects them to be.
And nobody looks their age.
Correct, absolutely. Yes, simple things, simple things, but there's expectation from Swami.
And I think to me also metaphorically, you know, you removing your sideburns, you know, and so Bhagavan asking you again and again, again and again to do this was in some way, he was shaping you up, you know. Even, you know, whatever was there that was unwanted in you was perhaps slowly being cut down to size.
No, absolutely. I can remember, you know, in 1974, you know, I was very good in my studies. And amongst the students, I always used to be the first.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
Now, it's a natural thing that we tend to forget why we are here. And I used to feel a bit proud about myself.
Mm.
We had a physics practical examination. And in those days, the students could just walk to Swami's room. Because it was examination, wait until Swami is ready, as soon as he comes out, and then you can seek his blessings, and hopefully a few exchanges of words.
Wow.
So three of us from the hostel were appearing for the examination. So we all three went upstairs, and Swami comes out, looks at the first boy nicely, good chat with him, says Namaskaram. The second boy also same. And completely ignores me, you know.
Oh.
And at that time, you know, I felt in a way very insulted.
I mean, you're the best student there.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's a very harsh word to say insult from Swami, you know. But I felt like that. But that's my egoism, you know. And, I felt within myself, I wish I would fail this examination. Right?
Swami gets a feeling that I didn't bless him and so this happened.
That's right. The Almighty is in front of me and this is, I call it a prayer or whatever. I wish I would fail this examination.
Oh my God.
And he doesn't look at me and I just take Swami's Namaskaram. And the whole thing is then forgotten. We all on our way to the laboratory. The examination papers are given. And I had this for a lot of people in the scientific world, determination of wavelength of light by the optical table method.
Mm-hmm.
A very simple technique. And this one I had done this quite a number of occasions. I say, simple, you know. Within a few minutes, I'll just sort the whole thing out. I start setting up this table. And I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is working.
Oh.
It's a hot summer's day. I'm really sweating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just give up.
Oh.
And then I suddenly remind myself, pray to Swami, you know. Mm-hmm. So I close my Swami and I say to Swami, Swami, over to you.
Mm-hmm.
At that very instant, you know, in those days, Swami used to eat this betel nut. With a leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice fragrant smell. It's typical of that fragrant smell. And I thought, is Swami around? Because the whole place is with that smell.
Oh.
Right? And the next moment, the whole place smells of vibhuti.
Oh my God.
And I'm just looking around. Is Swami around here? Swami physically is not there. And after that, I am feeling Swami's omnipresence. And it is a feeling that I cannot describe. It is effectively a divine romance. Only Swami was there and only I was with him. And this continues now for the rest of the period, you know. I am in a state of bliss, not aware of what is going on in my surroundings at all. Until 15 minutes are left, and our Mr. Hegre, who was our lecturer in physics, he comes and pats me at the back, 15 more minutes, and suddenly I come out of that divine consciousness, you know. And I'm feeling very light, very elated, very blissful. In 15 minutes, what can you do? I put my name one side, title of my experiment, time is over, and I hand over the answer sheet to the examiner. And Mr. Hegde looks at this and said, "Kiran, what is this?" And I said, "Sir, with a smile, please go and ask Swami, you know." And I walk out of the examination hall. I come back to the hostel. Now reality dawns. Oh my gosh. I have not done anything about this experiment. 0 marks. And I was already contemplating on how should I bunk the bhajans tonight. Because Swami definitely will ask me, how did your examination go? So I was planning like that. Then one of the students comes to me and says, "The examiner wants to see you." So I go over. And then he says, "I am the strictest of examiners from Bangalore University. In my whole career of 30 years, I have never done this before. I'll only give you 30 minutes. It's a 3-hour experiment. I'll only give you 30 minutes. Whatever you can do, please do." And then I am very grateful to him and I says, "Thank you very much, sir." I go to this experiment. Moment I touch, it is as though everything just sets itself up. And this 3 hours examination practical, I finish it in 30 minutes and I get the correct answer for the wavelength of light. And then I'm very grateful at the time. I know this was only Swami's dream. Very infinitely grateful. And I'm just walking out of the laboratory and one student comes running from the ashram. And he says, "Swami is calling you." So I run at that time, you know, my heart beating very fast. Swami had called some devotees for interview. Once he had finished, he opened the doors and sees me. And he calls me, "Dula potu, dekha Swami ka chamatkar." He says,
"Oh my God.
Did you see Swami's miracle? Chasko, take namaskaram." And I just broke down. And I just then took Swami's namaskaram. That was a big, big impact on me because till then, yeah, I was a clever boy, good marks, my efforts. Then I realized we never have that ego. It is whatever we have got, it is only His doing. And since that day, I'm very conscious of that. It was a big learning for me that He really is a doer, and He is a giver, you know. It is only because of His inspiration what we are today. And that really, you know, has shaped my life. And even today, I always remember those days and practice in daily life that I should not feel egoistic because it is only He who has given us that. That was a massive impact upon me from that experience. So things like that suddenly used to happen.
Amazing. I mean, when you reflect on it, Swami said, "Dekha Swami ka chamatkar." I think the whole life is actually every second Swami is telling us, you know, "Are you seeing that chamatkar that I am doing?"
No.
"Are you seeing that chamatkar that I am doing?"
No, absolutely. Yes.
Every moment is a miracle. in that sense, isn't it? When you become aware and alive to that experience.
True, very true.
And you know, again, metaphorically thinking, you know, that correction of that wavelength, that's what he was doing. He was correcting your wavelength.
Correct my, yes, yes.
And that optical, whatever illusion that you had about yourself.
That's true.
Yes, correcting your vision and correcting your wavelength, and just so that it's completely focused.
That's true.
On him.
Yes.
And I think when you have an experience of this nature, it just stays in you so solidly, isn't it?
No, absolutely. Yes, it carries you through, and all the time you are always aware that there is a line that you should not cross. You need to be very conscious of that.
Because only then will Chamatkar happen in your life.
True, yes.
Others you become a zero.
That's absolutely, yes, yes. Mm. That's right.
So by the time you finished your graduation in Vrindavan, perhaps your idea of Swami had completely changed, isn't it? What you thought he is when you joined and have been living with him for 4 or 5 years. By the time you finished graduation, what was your conception of Swami now?
I think... now, yes, in those days, even when there were conferences, Swami's instructions were, no, this is not for you. Even there was Vedam going on, Swami used to tell us, that is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in a way, when I reflect back, Swami's physical presence was there. So what more did you want? Right?
Exactly.
So none of that was needed. Mm. But just enjoy the bliss of his presence.
Mm.
When I reflect back now after all those years, he certainly was molding us.
Mm.
We were not part of the organization, nothing he wanted. He just wanted us to be with him.
Mm.
See the way he operated, you know, and enjoy the bliss, the joy to be in his presence.
Mm.
And I feel each one of us, not only as a Sai student, I feel also every devotee, Swami has touched our lives. And each one of us has got a role in a divine mission.
Mm.
Now, having said that, the divine mission is not going to stop. The train has already started. He has already started the train. And I feel it's up to us as individuals.
Mm.
Not to remain silent in a corner that, no, me and my Swami, that is fine. But there is a bigger role for every devotee.
Yeah.
I mean, which Swami himself emulated.
Exactly.
Look at all the humanitarian work.
Yes.
You know, I mean, single-handedly, he had been going around serving humanity. And that is the big expectation that he has. So each one of us that has got the role, and let us be in that part of the mission rather than sitting outside.
Yes.
At the same time, we do find that a lot of individuals take advantage of Swami's physical absence. If their Swami was physical, he is more attractive. Now that Swami physical is no more, that attraction for some people is not there. So anybody can get up and say that, see, Swami speaks through me, this is what he has said and whatever, and people run after them. I think to all my brothers and sisters who are listening today, I would only say this, that if we are real followers of Satya Sai Baba, let us read his discourses and what he has said about the mediums, about money raising, and make up our own minds.
Mm.
Let us not be like monkeys jumping from one tree to another, as he says.
Yes.
Our faith should be unflinching.
Yes.
Cannot be wavering. Let us be very focused.
And
just pray to him.
Correct. And I think as you very rightly said, and you experienced, you know, what he was trying to do was to build that one-to-one connection with every person, isn't it? See, when
true.
He was in the physical form,
yes.
That happened very strongly.
Yes.
In a manner that just goes into you so intensely that it is absolutely incomparable with any other experience in the world, and it will change you completely.
Correct.
That is what he gave that experience to each devotee. not only each student, isn't it? Each devotee got that experience to connect with him one to one. And I think if you look at Bhagavan's life, full 86 years, he did only this. He was only trying to help every devotee. You know, way back in 1950s, 60s itself, he was telling me, you see me within, I'm in you, around you.
Correct.
Those were the kind of things that Bhagavan always told us. And if you see, the entire physical sojourn was to ensure that we reach there.
That's true. Yes.
To reach there.
Absolutely.
And I think we pay our tribute to him, we honor his message when we live that life where we connect with him within.
That's true.
We connect him within and we listen to him within.
Yes.
Because ultimately that voice of conscience
and
is within.
And that's the inspiration now for us.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is 3rd of March 2016 and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the time right now is exactly 40 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. I hope you enjoyed this Radio Sai exclusive Fleeting Moments interview with Dr. Kiran Patel of the United Kingdom. He was in conversation with Radio Sai's Bishop Rushdie. We eagerly look forward to your feedback, comments and suggestions to this interview and to all Radio Sai programs at our email ID, listener@radiosai.org. And please note that you can catch part 2 of this interview right here on Morning Glory next week. That is at 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time on Thursday Live, which is aired on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. With that, it is time for me to announce the answer to this morning's question that I posed earlier on the show. As an alumna of the Anantapur campus of the Sai University, I feel awesome to find that so many of our wonderful listeners are aware that the very first college that Bhagwan Baba founded was indeed the Anantapur College, and it was exclusively for women. Now, I'm going to read out the name of all the listeners, and might I add, today we had the most overwhelming response and I'm so grateful to all of you for participating. Now, before I read the names of all the listeners, I just have to mention something. When I request you for the right answer, I often forget to mention, please, along with your name, do remember to write to me which town or city and country you are from. I think about 60-70% of the listeners have listed their location. Others did not, perhaps because they are first participating for the first time and I forgot to mention that. So I apologize for that. Going forward, please continue to participate in Morning Glory quizzes, and along with your name, do mention your town or city and the country. Now, here is the list of names of those who had the answers right. Jayashree Rangarajan, Tarun Kanti Ghosh from Kolkata, Priya from Bahrain, Smriti Rath from Bangalore, Gurumurthy from Thane, Maharashtra, Hemant Kumar, Sai Sudha Sasi Kumar from Mumbai, Raji Venkat from Mumbai, Rekha Loknath, Rati Priya Venkat, Mr. Naveen Sharma from Gurgaon, Haryana, who happens to be a proud father of a daughter who is currently enrolled in the first year program at Anantapur. Mr. Bala from Bahrain, Sister Shankari Subhash from Dubai, Subhash Lakshmi Narayanan from Dubai, Suhana Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa, Mrudula Murthy, Gopal Krishnan, Mrs. Meenakshi Velmurugan from New Delhi, Ravi Shankar Sistala, Hema Malini from, I'm wondering, perhaps Bollywood. It's nice to know you're listening wherever you are, Sister Hema. Raghu Bangalorekar from, I'm guessing, Bangalore or elsewhere. Anantapur alumna from Hyderabad, Pooja Sani. It is so nice that an alumna took part, as well as a parent of an Anantapur student, Mr. Naveen Sharma, and also Pooja Sani, who has graduated from Anantapur. Jitendra Mulki from Dahanu Road in Maharashtra. Sunita Menon from Bahrain. 7-year-old Sia Bhagwandas, with a little help from her dad, Nilesh Bhagwandas, from Durban, South Africa. Dharani Narayanan. Mrs. Shashita Shettigar. I think this is from Mumbai. Mrs. Shashita Shettigar. Rukmani Ramachandran. Sai Krishna from Hyderabad. Bhuvana Ganesh from Bangalore, Padmavati Vulli, Sai Shweta Palakur from USA. She's a young listener. Thank you, Shweta, for participating. Jaya Ramachandran from Sharjah and M. Kaushal from Bangalore, India. And I must mention, every single week, M. Kaushal's answer is the first that I received. Congratulations go out to all our sisters and brothers who participated, and I thank you heartily for your enthusiasm. And might I mention here that, yes, when Swami started the college in 1968, it was in a makeshift building. And 1971, he laid the foundation for the new college campus, that is where it stands now. At that time, when he was laying the foundation stone for the new college campus, the permanent home of the college in Anandpur, he, in his discourse, Swami said, and I quote him, "India is being forged into a bhogabhumi, land of luxury and indulgence, a land of skyscrapers, tinned food, air conditioning and television. Indians are being shaped into an imitative, insurgent, ill-disciplined mass. They are being transplanted on other soils and encouraged to grow without roots. This is an insult to the past and a dangerous defiance of history. It is a sacrilege on the history of time, on the sole purpose of the human body. That is the reason I have decided that this college be inaugurated on Guru Purnima Day as a reminder of the highest tradition in which the highest ideals of life were instilled by personal example and guidance by the Guru to pupils eager to imbibe. The seed has been planted. It will sprout and spread, heavy with fruits, providing shade, security and sustenance to all." Unquote. So as you can see, Bhagwan in his divine wisdom knew very well that if you educate a girl, you educate an entire family. I don't know about you, but that makes him the coolest feminist in my opinion. After Anandpur came the college in Brindavan, Bangalore, which is for boys. After the early inauguration, on 9th of June in 1969, the Chief Minister of Mysore State, Mr. Virendra Patil, had the honor of inaugurating the college. And speaking on that occasion, Dr. V.K. Gokak, who at that time was the Vice Chancellor of the Bangalore University, to which our Sai College was affiliated, he described it as a gem in the crown of the Bangalore University. And later, you might find it interesting to know that Dr. Vinayak Krishna Gokak became the Vice Chancellor, the very first Vice Chancellor of the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And many years later, his son, Mr. Anil Gokak, also served as the Vice Chancellor of the Sai University. And after the Brindavan campus, in 78, Swami turned his attention to the third college in Puttaparthi. And by the beginning of the 80s, there were three colleges in Anandpur, in Bangalore and in Puttaparthi respectively, in that order. And soon, by 1981, Swami found it was the right time to fuse all these into a university. And that's how the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning was born. And now a music college has been added, as well as the Mudanhalli campus of the Sai University. So now we have two campuses in Andhra Pradesh, namely Anandpur campus and Prashanthi Nilayam campus, as well as the Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music in Prashanthi Nilayam. And we have two more campuses in the neighboring state of Karnataka, in Brindavan Whitefield Bangalore, exclusively for men, and in Mudanhalli, also exclusively for men. To learn more about the Sai University and its campuses, its academic programs, its vision and mission, dear listeners, I urge you to check out the university's website at www.sssihl.edu.in. SSSIHL stands for Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning .edu.in for India, edu for education. So with that, I thank our listeners for tuning into Morning Glory, and especially all those sisters and brothers who participated in this morning's quiz. We all learned so much from it. I hope you agree with me. Now, next week, I'll also give you, my colleague Brother Raghu is here, and he gives me good ideas all the time because he goes on air after me. So, at his suggestion, which I really welcome, we might have an opportunity to request our listeners to the first three who respond to suggest their favorite bhajan, which we will try to play at the end of the segment. So, that I'll say for next week. And may I also remind you that you can catch most of the contents of Morning Glory on our Facebook page and a few days later on our website, radiosci.org, under Thursday Live Archives. Thursday Live Archives is where we have all the previous Thursday Lives stored for you. You can go date-wise, pick your segment of your choice, and download the program for free. As with all things associated with Bhagwan, the only currency that the Sai Mission ever trades upon is the currency of selfless pure love. With that, I'm going to leave you to enjoy some bhajan bliss. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, stay positive, and stay healthy. Jai Sai Ram.
बुद्ध जन आश्रम महावीर नाम है।
हाँ, बोलिए
बोलिए जी बुद्ध स्वराज महावीर ना सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान प्रेम धर्म ही एक देखो सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान साईं के दरबार हमारी ओ बोलिए कौन सी जाति है वो मानवता की जाति हमारी समता समग्रता समैक्यता सौभ्रातृत्व भेद ना जात पात का जी धर्म ना ऊंच नीच का जी भेद ना जात पात का जी धर्म ना ऊंच नीच का जी तेरे दर पे आए वो सभी एक हो जाए वो सभी एक हो जाए वो सभी एक हो जाए न जात पात का ये भेद यहाँ न ऊंच नीच का ये धर्म यहाँ न जात पात का ये भेद यहाँ न ऊंच नीच का ये धर्म यहाँ भाषा हमारी एक हृदय की मनोयान मनो कर देखो जन 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 साईं के दरबार में हाँ जी हाँ जी साईं के दरबार में निरगरी निरली दमद भग भगरे निरगरी मबदनी दा मबदनी दा मबदनी साईं के दरबार में जी हाँ जी हाँ जी साईं साईं के दरबार में साईं के दरबार में साईं जो तुम न होते तो ये दुनिया का क्या परंपरा पुरानी बदल गई है आज कालघटा छाई है कलयुग की 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 आज मगर इस घन घोर अंधेरे ये रोशनी किधर से उठी है मानो आकर देखो जानो मानो यानो मानो आकर देखो जानो साईं के दरबार में आओ जी आओ सुन लो साईं के दरबार में आओ जी आओ सुन लो साईं के दरबार में साईं के दरबार में आओ जी आओ सुन समस्त दरबार में
धड़कन तुम्हा सांसों में बसती है तो मेरी माँ नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे साईं
धड़कन तुम्हारा सांसों में बसती